The lame will walk in glory land. The blind up there will see. The deaf in glory land will hear. The dumb will talk to
then
weep not, friends, I'm going home. Up there we'll die no more, no coffins will be made up there, no graves on that bright shore.
There'll
be no sun in glory land. The moon and stars won't shine, for Christ himself is light up there. He reigns on love deep. Weep not, friends, I'm going home. Up there we'll die no more. No coffins will be made up there. No graves on that bright shore.
That's the legendary Marshall family from Volume 2 and Glory Land here on Roots and Berries. We also heard in that set from Vancouver-based The High Bar Gang, and I Saw the Light from their gospel collection, Lost and Undone, and Kristen Scott Benson with The Gospel Way from the album Second Season here on Roots and Berries. I'm Robin. I am your host for this hour of music from noon to one on Fridays. And we're listening to a handful of gospel songs to get us in the spirit. Nothing like a little hallelujah, you know, fire and brimstone to get us, I don't know, dancing about. Seems kind of an oxymoron in some ways, but some of this stuff is rousing, you know. It does something. Stimulates the soul. In just a few minutes, I'm going to play a couple of special announcements for you. And then I'm going to come back and tell you a little bit about the holly berry. Haven't had a berry in a little while. And today when I was coming up on the bus, I was like, look at all these holly berries. So learn a little bit about that. Don't go away. After that, of course, there's lots of great music still to come. So here we go. A couple of special announcements, and then I'll be back with the holly berry.
When I sent the migaras, who'd had a squelch,
give it all away. What does it mean to bear witness? The act of witnessing is also the act of universal acceptance. Giving is intertwined with wealth and abundance, depending on the reciprocal relationship one has with land and community. It is this ideology that has helped indigenous nations maintain sustenance for centuries. Following Thema Igara's performance at SFE Gallery in fall 2022, who had a squelch, Give It All Away, guest participants were invited to recount the event in, as Igara's describes, a collective remembering, a truth about an experience. Listen as participants Tanya Lucan Linklater, Alisa Johnny Hawkins, and Mikel DeAngeli share their witness encounters together in a conversation airing December 12th and 19th on Speaker from 10 to 11 a.m.
Western Front will be hosting the Tuk Craft Fair from December 1st to 3rd. It will showcase a curated selection of BC-based artists, craftspeople, and designers who make textiles, ceramics, jewelry, accessories, stationery, and home and body products. The event is all about coming together, meeting artists, and connecting with what is being made in our community. If you are interested in participating as a vendor, make sure to submit the application form by August 31st. To access the application form and for more details of this event, visit tukcraftfair.com.
All right. My apologies on that one. The expiry date on that announcement was mislabeled. And so a couple weeks past the due date. My apologies on that. Not sure how many craft fairs are on this weekend. Maybe you've gotten your holiday shopping and gathering all under control. Maybe you're one of those last minute folks that, you know, run out on Christmas Eve and just get her done. When I do it, I have such a small little group to buy for anymore. It's usually if I see things in and along the way over the year, I might pick it up and, you know, stash it somewhere. And then the real trick becomes remembering where I stashed it when the time comes. So maybe you're like me, and you have that approach as well. And now it's trying to put on the old thinking cap to figure out, where the heck did I hide that on myself? All right. As promised, a little bit of information on the hollyberry. I was surprised to learn that there's so many varieties of holly. You would recognize it. The common holly is serrated leaves, red, bright red, glossy berries. It's popular at this time of year as either a festive shrub or a wreath, becomes decorative garlands and things that you can use on your mantelpiece or around your door and that kind of thing. It's also quite long lasting with the right kind of care. It can last a couple of weeks, and so it's durable for that kind of decorating. What I wasn't aware of, though, is that there are both evergreen and deciduous types of holly. 480 varieties, in fact, which I found quite astounding. They include everything from climbing lianas to shrubs and trees. So they really encompass the breadth of bushery, if that's a word. American and English holly, look very similar, but it is typically the English holly that we recognize more commonly in Christmas decorations and as Christmas flora. Holly is dioecious, which means that each holly plant is either female or male, and they need to be grown near to each other in order to produce the berries. And those plants that produce berries are female. All holly has white flowers with four petals, and they can bloom anytime between early spring and the start of summer, depending on the climate. Once insects pollinate the holly flower on a female holly plant, they develop into red berries and often remain on the tree during the winter. The bark and the foliage of certain types of holly have long been used in herbalism, while holly leaves are made into a tea that have been used to treat measles, pneumonia, colds, and flu. Holly berries, especially consumed in large quantities, are toxic. I'm going to say that again. Holly berries, especially consumed in large quantities, are toxic to humans and most animals. This includes your fur friends, cats and dogs. So be especially careful if you've got little people and little fur critters. Make sure that your holly is up and out of reach of those. Holly, however, is not toxic for birds and is a particularly important food source during the winter months. For Druids and the pagan religions, as they are more widely referred to, holly was used very much to mark the winter solstice, which we are coming upon next Wednesday/Thursday. The plant's green, red, and white colors represented luck and protection when hung over doorways. And the Christians would later adopt, quote-unquote, or steal this tradition of hanging holly on doors. However, in the Christian tradition, holly would become a symbol of Christ's crucifixion and as a metaphor for life after death, the thorny holly leaves becoming known as Christ's thorn, and the red berries representing the crown of Christ and the blood he shed on the cross. The different types of holly can vary in terms of their leaves. They can be quite hard and spiny to leaves that are more soft to the touch, glossy green. They can be a mixture of green and white. Most flowers have a flower that are quite nicely scented, but the berries themselves can be anywhere from red, pink, black, yellow to white. And as I said, the red berries are the ones that we're more familiar with at this season. And they are typically the English holly, which looks very much like the American holly. And that is the holly berry. They're actually a drupe. They're not actually a berry. And so droops are in that category where they're growing like a grape, where they grow sort of clumps of berries on these little branch sort of pods of branches, I'll call them. That's not very technical, but you know what I mean. All right. I always learn a thing or two about berries when I delve into them. We're going to move to the set of music here, starting off with a traditional Appalachian singer, Elizabeth Leprell. She learned this singing style that has been the singing style in the Appalachian Mountains for forever, and it's very particular. I really like it. It's got this very raw kind of grittiness to it. I don't know how else to say, but there's a quality of voice that's really intense in a way. This is called The Devil's Nine Questions, an old-timey song off of her album Rain and Snow, Elizabeth Leprell.
Now you must answer my questions nine. Sing 99 and 90, or you aren't God, you are one of mine. And who is the weaver's bonnie? What is whiter than the mill?
Are passing by. Will you seek him while he still may be found? Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid? Are you unsafe? Are you afraid to die? Bye.
was to rise and leave this world of care with glad shouts and all tear-dimmed eyes. I'll meet you in the air. I will never be alone with you by my side. The path is winding, blocked by stone, but I
thanks for listening. This has been Roots and Berries on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Robin, and I will be back next week with another fresh pick of songs for our noon hour. If you missed an episode, you'll find audio archives and playlists for this program at cjsf.ca. Simply click on Roots and Berries in the program schedule. Happy Friday, and see you next week.
Bird note. Puffins are boldly colorful icons of northern islands and sea cliffs, where they nest in dense colonies during the summer. In the spring, puffins grow thin, blazingly colorful layers over the base of their huge beaks. Some species' beaks turn vivid yellow, others a bright red or orange, and they make all kinds of noise. In winter, however, puffins lead very different lives. For one thing, winter puffins are not nearly as fancy. Once their chicks fledge in late summer, adult puffins shed the ornaments that wowed their mates in spring. Their beaks turn a dull orange, and their bright white summer faces turn a sooty color. Tufted puffins, named for their long blonde head tufts, go tuft-less in winter. Horned puffins lose the fleshy horns above their eyes. And puffins in winter go silent as well. The birds depart their nesting cliffs by September and head for the open ocean. Three species winter in the North Pacific and one in the North Atlantic. Puffins remain largely solitary for the 7 months of the year they spend at sea. But as winter gives way to spring, the clowns of the cliffs return.